26 years ago, British sprinter Derek Redmond and his father provided audiences with one of the most heart-wrenching, goosebump-inducing moments in Olympic history. At the 1992 Barcelona Olympics, Redmond had qualified for a semifinal of the 400-meter dash. With the fastest time in his heat, he was looking strong when he suddenly pulled up. His hamstring had torn, leaving him on his knees, doubled over in pain on the track. But him determined to finish, Derek got back up again and began to limp his way to the finish line. All the while people were applauding him and encouraging him, the 65,000 people in the stadium. And surprisingly, he didn't have to finish the race alone. Redmond's father, Jim, ran from the stands and brushed off the security to join his son. With tears in both of their eyes, the Redmonds finished the race together. Derek Redmond is now a motivational speaker, and he has a Barack Obama quote on his homepage of his website. President Obama quoted this about Derek. He said, "Derek Redmond bravely making it through with little help. Moments of euphoria after years of hard work. Moments when the human spirit triumphs over energy that should have been impossible to overcome." This incredible moment has since been acknowledged over the world as an example of how the human spirit can triumph over adversity. There is so much more to this story, and if you haven't seen the video, I encourage you to go to YouTube and Google, of course, YouTube search Derek Redmond and look at it on YouTube. The video is heart-wrenching because you see the hurt and you know what is going through his mind and the desires that he has. Yet then, to see his father come out of the audience to offer him assistance, it's extremely moving. Brethren, you and I, we are not immune to adversity and challenges in our lives. We didn't become baptized and then all of a sudden, all of our adversities and challenges were removed from our lives. God never promised mankind an easy life, free of challenges in this physical world. Therefore, brethren, you and I don't have this promise either. Some of you are living with adversity and challenges here today, right now. For some of us, it wasn't long ago that we battled through challenges, and the thoughts and memories are still fresh in our minds. And for most of us here, we will have to battle our challenges in the future as we continue our lives. Whether it's a job loss, whether it's an illness that is out of our control, no matter what it is in life, we have challenges that come up. So what do we do when adversity strikes? Where do we go when challenges arise? Charles Kettinger was an American inventor and the holder of 186 patents. He was the founder of Delco, and he was head of research at General Motors from 1920 to 1947. He was on the cover of Time magazine in 1933. In his spare time, he appears to be one who gave thought about his future and has been quoted saying these things about the future and his thoughts towards it. These are some of his quotes that he says. "My interest is in the future because I'm going to spend the rest of my life there." He has also been quoted to say, "You can't have a better tomorrow if you're thinking about yesterday all the time." He is also quoted saying, "No one would have crossed the ocean if he could have gotten off the ship in the storm." And the last one, this one I do like, "Every time you tear a leaf off the calendar, you present a new place for new ideas and progress." I would like us to consider the Christian responsibility to go forward, because we have been called to go forward, brethren. We must be the forward-looking Christians. As believers, as the body of Christ, we have so much going for us, brethren. We could sit here all morning discussing everything that we have in Christ and counting the blessings that we have been able to walk in newness of life. You and I have been able to walk in the newness of life. We have a common faith. We have the same Savior. We have had our sins forgiven. And we have instructions for living a full life. And we have right in front of us, brethren, eternal life as children, as heirs of our amazing God and Father. As we open our Bibles, let's turn to Ephesians 4 and verse 1. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. In this verse, brethren, in this passage, there's so much power that is packed into this section here. And it's one that we should never lose sight of. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. Here the Apostle Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. All of what we have as Christians, brethren, all of what we describe here is that oneness that binds us together as a family. This oneness provides the glue that keeps you and me as a unified body of Jesus Christ. We are that body. We are unified through the oneness that is described here in Ephesians 4. So the question for today, brethren, do we just get to sit back and enjoy this oneness that is described here by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4? Do we just sit back in our lazy boy recliner or in our beach chair basking in the glow of the sun and enjoy this oneness? Are we called to take this oneness that we have and then to do something with it? Is there a requirement that we take all that we have been given and all that is in our possession as God's people and to go forward? Again, looking at Ephesians 4 verse 1, we read, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called. Here's the key action word for today, brethren. To walk. To walk. There isn't anything cryptic or unusual in how this word walk is used here in the passage. Simply it means to make one's way, to progress, to make due of opportunities. Unity doesn't just happen automatically. It does take work to be unified. It takes work to be one. Therefore, Paul admonishes us to walk worthy, to be active in our faith, instead of focusing and concentrating on our differences and what can divide us. We should remember and work at what unifies one of us, each one of us. This oneness of body, you and me here today, the body of Christ, we are the church, the oneness of spirit, the Holy Spirit, that gift that cannot be purchased, but that gift that is here is no greater than you and I share. The oneness of hope, our amazing future to be children of God. I still can't wrap my mind around just what the fullness of what that means, to be children of God. The oneness of Lord, of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. The oneness of faith, our belief and our commitment to each other. Oneness of baptism, that moment that each of us accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That oneness of God the Father, our Heavenly Father, who called each one of us to Him. Each one of us to Him, and individually called each and every one of us. None of us will be perfect in this life. We each have our personal challenges. We have events that happen to us and shape our lives. We lose jobs. We make bad financial decisions. We get fired. Our car breaks down. Health trials come upon us. This is why we are called to be patient and long-suffering with one another. This is why we are to find the good in one another. This is why we work through our differences instead of dwelling on them. Because our calling is not a passive calling. We must then walk, move forward. The concept of walking or running is one that is used multiple times in the Apostles' writing. The Apostle Paul writings, it is a concept we must work to internalize. Walking and running carries with it an aspect of going forward, of moving forward and moving ahead. It's important that we remember that we are called by God to go forward, to move forward in our lives. Now I would like to look at another passage in Romans 8 and verse 1. We continue to look at the call that we have in the face of challenges and in the face of trials going forward. Romans 8 and verse 1. Romans 8 verse 1. There is, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Again, this is the same Greek word we look at in the previous passage, to make one's way to progress, to make due use of one's opportunities. Continuing in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, for those who live. Another action, another word, another forward-looking word, the word live here. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. In another of Paul's letters, this one to the church in Philippi, Paul again addresses the responsibility for Christians to go forward. This one is in Philippians 3 and verse 8. Philippians 3 and verse 8. The Apostle Paul says, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And of course, now here in verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, again, that forward movement, brethren, but that I press on, that I may lay hold of what of that for which Christ, Jesus Christ has also laid a hold of me. The word here for press on is the Greek word diko, which means to run swiftly in order to catch a person or thing, to seek after eagerly or earnestly endeavor to acquire. This is what Paul is saying here, that he seeks after eagerly or earnestly to acquire of that which is what Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Continuing in verse 13, Paul says, brethren, I do not count myself to have been apprehended, but one thing I do, and this is key for Paul himself, from inspired scripture, brethren, forgetting those things which are behind. Because we have challenges, brethren, in this life. We could stare at the rearview mirror of our life and look at things that didn't go right, the job that we lost, the health trial that's unfair, the weakness that we have in the flesh, of things that maybe we even created in our lives, but our challenges that we have. And here the Apostle Paul is saying, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead. The Greek word for reaching forward is epiktenomi. It conveys the thought of stretching out or towards something, to stretch oneself forward. Paul is saying he is stretching forward to those things which are ahead, like that runner striving for the finish line, trying to reach forward. And as God's people, we are called to do the same, to continue to strive forward for unity, for peace, strive forward for Christ. In verse 14, continuing on with the writings of Paul, by Paul, it says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Again, the same Greek word, diko, as we read in verse 12, Paul is saying that he is seeking after eagerly the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ. In verse 15, he says, Therefore, let us as many as are mature have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. It goes on to say, Join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. Brethren, athletes in training discipline their thoughts and they discipline their bodies. They understand the goals they desire to achieve and are working toward. And as Paul described in the passage from Philippians 3, this is the mindset of desiring to be more like Christ in our thoughts and in our actions and in our words. This is the desire after the oneness that Paul outlined in Ephesians 4. As an athlete in training, it's not just about desiring the goal, because we can all desire to want to get into the kingdom, but if we don't do the correct things, we don't follow God's word, we're not going to make it to the kingdom. But we must work towards achieving it. The doing part, the going forward part, this is the action part of trying our best to emulate Christ in our conduct. We must lay aside everything that conflicts with our goal of reaching towards and striving to be more like Christ. Many times, in order to reach forward, we have to forget our past. We have to forget about the job that we lost. We have to forget about the health trial that we're going through. An athlete can dwell on a missed shot, the failed attempt, the blocked field goal. I've seen this in the NFL recently. A kicker was so good, and he missed one field goal, and then he kept dwelling on that missed field goal, and he just never got back to where he was. We must be forward and we must become better. We as Christians have to forget about our past mistakes and the mistakes of others that have affected us. It is kind of like driving your car. You don't drive your car by staring into the rearview mirror. That rearview mirror is to see what we have passed, to see what we have gone by. It's used as a tool to make it safe for me to move over onto the other lane again. We look at what is happening behind us to see if an ambulance is approaching from behind so that we are aware of our surroundings. But in front of us, we don't have a little mirror, but we have a whole windshield to look out of so that we can see where we are going. In conclusion, brethren, through the passages, the Apostle Paul is saying that his goal in life was to know Christ, to be like Christ, to become all that Christ desired for him to become. The apostle poured all of his thoughts and all of his energy into the goal that he sought after. Let us be like Paul, continually work to go forward, to seek after eagerly the things that are of Christ. He said himself that he forgot those things which were behind him, and he reached forward to those things which were ahead. The example that Paul patterns should encourage us all to do the same. Let's keep our eyes on the goal of knowing Christ and becoming more like him.